Open your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Kings. Boy, aren't you glad to be a child of the King? Amen. Not that we deserve it, but to be thanked that we are sons and daughters of royalty. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 17. Listen up just a few moments. Pay attention to me. God has amazing ways that He works. Now, some people say, well, the Bible says He works in mysterious ways. Well, the Bible doesn't say that. We've got a habit of saying that. But God does work, and He showed Himself that He does work in mysterious ways. He works in ways, and He's working in so many different ways that sometimes we don't realize. And sometimes I see where God has caused certain things to come in lives of people. For instance, I think of George Mueller. Now, some of you may not know George Mueller. If you ever read a history of George Mueller, he was born to German tax collectors. Growing up, he was a pretty wicked boy. He'd steal, he'd cheat, he'd lie, he'd do whatever he could. And he finally went to prison. He went there because as a teenager, he learned how to stay and go and check himself in these extravagant hotels. Then he'd sneak out without paying for it. And on and on and on, he was someone in trouble. Then around 1825, he met the Lord through his troubles. And in doing that, God placed upon him a burden for young people that was homeless. And in about 10 years after he was saved, he started an orphanage. And he decided he'd never ask anybody for any money, never tell anybody about his needs. And God began to send money. And he started an orphanage, and he started a second house and a third house, and it went up to having about 2,000 children. And he learned just by praying that God would meet his needs. And sometimes they would not have any food for the orphanage, and he would line them up and tell them to sit at the table, and he'd go back and retire back in the bedroom, pray. One famous situation was where he had them all sitting at the table, told them God would provide, and he went back there praying. And a lady had knocked on the door and said she'd been woken early that morning, and God told her to bake bread and bring to the orphanage. And so she'd brought it, and then they didn't have anything to drink, and then a milk truck at that time broke down in front of their house. And the guy come and told them that the milk was going to spoil, and it was just enough to supply all the kids with milk. And he found that it was amazing how God would work. Sometimes we sing that song, Amazing Grace. Most people that knows the story knows how wicked a man he was. He was a cruel, wicked man. Some people says they thought he was one of the most wicked men ever lived, John Newton. But what happened was his mother died when he was young, and he just resentful, full of hate. Grew up, and God sent him one time. He was a slave trader, drunk, slave trader, blasphemer. And going across the ocean one time, a great storm came, and they thought they were going to sink. And he got on his face before God, and he got saved. And God changed his whole life around. He began to go out in places and sing. He wrote the song, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Sometimes God allows things to happen in our lives that we don't understand. He puts us through things, and He puts us through things sometimes to get our attention. Sometimes we think that we can do everything on our own. We don't need God. And God brings us to places in our life where He reminds us that we do need Him. He was doing such a thing to a prophet he had because he had big things planned for this prophet. His name was Elijah. If you look back in your Bibles in 1 Kings chapter 16, the last few verses of it, there was a king in the northern part of Israel. There was 12 tribes of Israel, and they were separated by two different kingdoms, north and south. The north had 10 kingdoms. Well, there was a king that began to reign by the name of Ahab. Then we find in the last few verses, I think verse 30, 31, somewhere along in there, he got married to this woman named Jezebel. She was a pagan woman. Now, girls, let me tell you this. If your husbands ever look at you and tell you that you remind them of Jezebel, it's not a compliment, okay? She was a wicked, wicked woman. She was a very, she was a pagan woman, and she was, she's one that caused Ahab to promote the worship of Baal. And they tore down all the other altars and so forth and began to build altars and shrines to Baal everywhere in the northern kingdom. So God had sent Elijah to tell King Ahab that it would not rain until he said it would rain. Because what happened was, Ahab rejected the servant of God. He rejected the sayings of God. When God spoke, he ignored it. He also rejected the fact of the strength that God had. And so God was just going to show him, and it's going to ultimately come to a test here in another chapter or two on Mount Carmel in chapter 18. But God's preparing Elijah for that day. Sometimes we don't realize what things that God puts us through to prepare us. Now, so Elijah went and told Ahab that it would not rain. It'd be a famine for a while. And famines could be very severe. A lot of people suffered. A lot of people died. So Ahab was looking for Elijah everywhere. He was trying to find him somewhere. He was wanting to put him to justice in his mind. And so God told Elijah, the first part of chapter 17, to go to a place, had a little brook called Cherethoth. Now, Cherethoth is a place that the word means to be separated. He wanted him to be separated from everybody else. He had a lesson he wanted to teach Elijah. He told him that he would feed him there. And he would feed him by ravens. And he would send a raven and bring him food every day. And he would drink of the brook of Cherethoth. And so therefore, God provided and sustained him. Elijah didn't understand everything that God was doing for him, but he was preparing him to depend upon him and to trust in him. But sometimes when we're trying to serve God, everything seems to be going well, and God's providing, and then God does something strange. And that's what he did with Elijah. He dried up the brook of Cherethoth. And so here he told Elijah he wanted to do something else. He wanted him to go to the land of Zarephath. Now Zarephath was a land that was in the Gentile country. It was of the land of Jezebel. It was about 100 miles away. It was in Gentile nations, heathen nations. And yet God wanted him to go 100 miles, over 100 miles, and travel. And he said that there would be a widow that would sustain him there. And so that was strange. And I'm sure Elijah thought, why, Lord, did you drop the brook? I was doing just fine here, letting you feed me every day. But what God wanted to do is he wanted to teach Elijah another lesson. He wanted to break down the pride of Elijah. He wanted to bring him down to the point where he realized. Now, he didn't tell him to go over there and he would use him to supply a widow, but he said a widow would sustain him. In other words, a widow at that time was considered the weakest and poorest of all the groups. And by the way, in famine, she would be the first one to perish because she didn't have a lot of supporting cast to provide for her. So in real severe famines, they would die fairly quickly, and usually the widows would be the first one to die. So God told him to go. Now sometimes God asks us to do things that we don't understand. You can think back in your Bibles to several examples. Noah, he asked him to build an ark. It never rained before, and he told him it was going to rain. He didn't understand it, but he built it. He told Abraham, he said, I want you to take your son up on Mount Moriah. I want you to offer him up as a sacrifice. Now, that was a son that Abraham had waited on. That was a strange thing to ask him, but God had a purpose in there, a trial that he wanted to teach him. And over and over and over, we find God giving us examples. I mean, think about Daniel. When Daniel was brought there and he was doing things right, And he was faced with the lion's den. The three Hebrew children faced with the fiery furnace. But in each one of those, God had a purpose. Imagine how richer our life is because of those people and what we've seen that God did through those people. Now begin reading with me, if you would, in verse number 8. And we're going to pick up where God had told Elijah to go to this widow in Zarephath. Verse number 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. And behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose, and he went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in mine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it to me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went, she did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Now I want us to look just a few moments, and I want us to think about how that God sometimes asks things of us. He asks things of us sometimes. Have you ever had God to lay something on your heart to do and didn't understand why God wants you to do it? But you know in your heart God wants you to do it. You know, sometimes we want God to go ahead and we want God to say, show us exactly what you are going to do when it's all over with. But that's not the way God works. What God does is he comes and he works through us by speaking to our hearts and asking us to respond in obedience. Not being able to understand the end product. Not being able to see the end as he sees the end, but just to believe that he has a purpose for what he's asking us to do. Amen. Now here we find a miracle that God worked through this widow and through Elijah's life. Both of them was going to learn. Both of them was going to grow in faith. Elijah was going to need it because in the very next chapter he's going to go up and he's going to face all the prophets of Jezebel and Ahab. There's 400 prophets that are of the vineyards up there. I can't think the word right now, I want to say. But then there's also 450 prophets of Baal. So 950 prophets that they were going to face when he went up there. And so he's going to have a face-off with them. He's going to need all the faith he could get. There's going to come times in our life, folks, when we're going to need to be able to put faith in God. There's times when we're not going to be able to see and understand other than what God has told us. And by the way, can I name one place real quickly? Every one of us, one of these days, are going to face death. When we face death, we're going to have to trust God with what's on the other side. Amen. We don't know, and all we've got is his word. If you have not had some experiences in your life to build your faith up, you're going to have a hard time when that comes. I've seen people that are saved or said they're saved that have been scared to death at death. Then I've seen people that are saved that's just been looking forward to going to the other side. I've seen people that faced it with such honor and dignity. I remember Brother Ron, Linda's husband, whenever they told him that he was going to die, and he had 3 weeks. He didn't even know that he had cancer and found out he had cancer, terminal fourth stage. And he had cancer and he was going to die within 3 weeks. And sure enough, in 3 weeks he died. I remember sitting with him about every day. And he would talk to me like he would talk to me like going to Somerset. He would talk to me about going to heaven. He would talk to me about things needing to be done, things left behind. And not one time did I ever hear 1 ounce of doubt or 1 ounce of fear in his voice. And he said, you know, God's worked in me for many a days to prepare me for this time. And God has showed him several things. Folks, there's times when we're going to need faith. And amazing thing is, God works in us in strange ways. Sometimes God brings people into our lives. Some of you have had children and adults brought into your homes. You can learn valuable things from them. I know when I was growing up, we had 48 foster children brought into our home. We learned to think of other people besides ourselves. We learned to care for those who are homeless. We learned to have compassion. Did we have broken hearts? Yes, sometimes we had broken hearts. Can I tell you this? You can't love people without being hurt. You get hurt, but I'd much rather love and be hurt occasionally than not to love at all. But God allowed certain ones to come through our lives, and different ones touch us in different ways. And I got thinking about all the different ones, the children and the adults that come through these lives. Many of you here are keeping up different ones, and many of you here have been instrumental in helping other people. How God uses those people to affect us. But now think about this. God, he works on both ends. He works, and sometimes I've seen people pray. I've seen people who want children, and God works out sending children in their life. And it's amazing. You know, I think of Deborah back there, and I think how that she sought to have children, and she always had such a love for children. And look at all the children, not only God sent her in her home, but look at the children God sent her in her life. God has amazing ways of working things out. How that he works on both ends. I was thinking how one time she was looking and wanting some child to keep, and someone called her up and said they'd open a phone book, Cincinnati phone book about this thick, and close their eyes and put their finger down to see who could call to give their child to, and their finger landed upon her number. God has ways of working things out sometimes and letting them to see and experience. And even though she didn't get to keep that child, she had him for a little while. And how God intervenes in their lives. I think of Tony and Missy, how they brought and adopted those children into their home. Where those children would be today if y'all hadn't had compassion. But I think about for 14 years y'all struggled, wanting to have one child naturally, and you couldn't have. And time y'all had disappointments and heartbreaks. And we begin to pray that God would open up your wound and allow you to have a child. Now you've had two natural children, and God sent you three more to be part of your family. What I'm trying to say is this, folks. God has ways of working. And you know, just it's amazing how God can bring children into your life and people into your life to be used. God's going to bring this widow into Elijah's life, and he's going to bring Elijah into this woman's life. Both of them have been enriched by what they're going to see. I mean, time and time again, can you imagine how God works on both ends? He sees a need over here, and he rises this person up over here to take care of that need. Imagine the spies that went into Canaan, and here's a harlot that God raises up to use to accomplish his purpose in that situation. Imagine how that God used Joseph, Jacob's son, when he saw in the future that there was going to be a great famine, and he rose Joseph up to oversee all the food in Egypt, and how that God used him. Whenever the eunuch over in the book of Acts was sitting there trying to understand the book of Isaiah, here God sent and told Philip to leave a revival he was having over in Samaria and to go out, and there he met a eunuch. and was able to help win the Munich to the Lord. My point is this. Many times what we do is, if we don't listen to the Word of God and obey the Word of God, we miss out on a miracle and something rich that He wants to do for our life. The second of all, sometimes we think what we have is inadequate for God to use. I mean, think about the little boy that brought a few loaves and few fishes to a dinner one time, or to a gathering, and there Jesus was, and 5,000 men, and all the women, children, and he just had this little lunch pail, little bag of food. Seemed inadequate, but nothing's inadequate with God. And so they asked him, and they went searching for food, and found this little boy had the food, and he gave it up. By the way, many of us say, well, I don't have anything to offer. But you don't understand what God can take what you got, how he can use and make something out of it, and how he can use it to bless and speak to somebody else's life.
Amen.
Not only that, but picture this. Sometimes what we do is this. We miss out because we're afraid. We're afraid of opening our arms, opening our house, opening our hearts. We're afraid of stepping out. We're afraid of opening our pocketbooks. My wife there can tell you time and time again, we've had people and missionaries and other needs come through. And back years ago, we lived just off check to check to check to check. And several times we'd have people come through, and God would just touch my heart. And I'd tell her, I said, Chris, whatever we got in the bank, write the check and give it to them. And every time that they would, when we have a bill coming up, God would work in just such unusual ways to always show that he rewards those who are faithful. I could tell you situation, and many of you have heard, and as a matter of fact, had one lady one time, I told a situation of giving a hundred, and we gave $106 and something, all the money we had. And she wrote the check, and she told me, she said, Billy, we got a bill tomorrow. And she said, I was going to use that to pay the bill. I said, Chris, all I know is God put it in my heart for you to write that check. And we had a lady, she started coming. She died since she started coming, but she started coming here. And I told this while she was here. That very next day on Monday, I went to work. I was working at that time. That very next day, she calls me. I hadn't talked to her in 10, 12 years. And she said, do you mind if I come up and see you a few minutes? I said, no. She said, Lord laid something on my heart. I said, what? She said, well, I'll tell you when I get there. And so she came up, and she came into my office, and she said, Billy, I was cleaning my counters this morning. And she said, I was cleaning my counters. I was cleaning the cookie jar. And she said, I opened it up and said there was $107 in there. And said, God told me to bring it to you and give it to you. I called Chris crying. I said, Chris, God just put the $106 back in the bank. Unusual ways. He's working on both ends. Here, God wants to do something in Elijah's life, but he also wants to do something in the widow's life. So here he asks this prophet to go 100 miles into the enemy territory. Now remember, Jezebel and Ahab had it out for Elijah. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to find him. They were searching for him. Here it was famine and no rain. And man, they hated him because of no rain. And they were wanting to put him to death. And so here he was told to go right through the midst of their territory and go find this widow, and she would sustain Elijah. And so he went, and when he came into the city, he saw a widow picking up a couple sticks. He knew in his heart this was a widow. And so he told her if he could have a drink of water. Now imagine this. Walking about 100 miles, you'd probably be ready for a drink of water, wouldn't you? Imagine. You know, sometimes we read a little story and we don't think about it. But imagine going over 100 miles and to get where God wants you to be. You get there, say, I want to drink water. Now, remember, water was hard to come by at this time because there was a great famine. And she started in to get him a drink of water. And he said, if you would, go ahead and make me cake. Now her faith had been challenged. See, God had spoke to her heart and told her that she was going to sustain a prophet. He was working on that end over there too. But now she realized that she only had enough meal, had enough oil, she to make one little cake. And she had done determined that she was picking up sticks to make that cake where she could make it, and her and her son could eat it, and they were going to die, because that was the last bit of food they had in their house. And so Elijah told her, he said, while you're getting a drink of water, fix me cake. Now her faith was going to be challenged. What's she going to do? Now she knows in her heart that God wants her to take care and sustain this prophet. What's she going to do? Is she going to trust God? Now, here she's sitting there and she's doubting. She said, you don't understand. It's only enough for me and my son. Then he tells her a couple of things. He said, fear not. He said, you got nothing to fear when God's asking you to do something. And can I tell you something this morning? When God's asking you to do something, somebody gets up and sings. And you say, I'm afraid to make a mistake. Lord, I'm the king of mistakes. I sing, as a matter of fact, I was sitting there beside Deborah helping singing that song a while ago, and I blurted out of the place. I know nobody heard me. But sometimes I'm up here singing, I'm studying at the same time when I'm singing, along with the congregation, and I get lost, and here I'm going singing another line or singing another verse, singing another word somewhere. And I'm usually singing so loud, everybody hears it when I do it. First thing I do when I do it, I look up, my wife's staring me right in the eye. It's not too bad doing it here. It's when we go visit places, other churches, that when I do it. That's when it's kind of embarrassing a little bit. But listen, no fear. When you're doing something for the Lord, you don't have fear. I used to be scared to death. What am I going to do when I stand before people? What am I going to say? Believe it or not, I was very shy, very backward. I was scared to death getting from people. I hated getting up in front of people. And you know what? God just told me, he said, preach my word. I said, God, I can't do that. He said, nobody can without me. And you know what I found? I found God's been faithful. All I've got to do is have faith to preach his word. Then his Holy Spirit can take the word and do the work it wants to accomplish. But listen to me very carefully. You young people, when you get up and sing, listen, sing with no fear. Quit worrying about what somebody may say, what somebody may think. Don't be afraid to make a mistake. If God, he can use you, we don't have to fear. Elijah also told her something else. He said, you need to understand something. What God's going to do is, every time that you go back to that barrel, he's going to give you more meal and so forth, and he's going to provide for you until it comes a rain. And he said, every day you go back, you'll be supplied daily. Now listen to me. God has a way of working it out, and sometimes he don't give you the whole barrel at one time, but he gives you one handful at a time, but enough to sustain you. And so she had decisions. Was she going to believe God in what he said? And she did. And because she did, she was able to go and she fed the prophet. They were able to eat. And every time that she would go back to the barrel, there would be some more meal. Every time she'd go back to the oil, there'd be some more oil. And it sustained her that whole time. Please listen to me. You say, well, that's Old Testament times. But Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 6. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all those things pertain to everything we need in life, would be added to you. He said, I promise you, you won't miss nothing. There'll be ways in which I will provide that you don't know. I could sit here and spend another hour telling you about things, how God provided for us when we needed something and he made a way. We could sit here and give a testimony about this church, This church is not rich. We don't have a big bank account. We live day to day, week by week, month to month. We always have. Listen, we could have a little bit more if we didn't support all those missionaries back there. We could do a little bit more. But look here. God has provided, and he's met our needs every single time. It's amazing how God just sends the right person at the right time in doing that. Folks, I want you to get this message this morning. Now listen to me very carefully. I'm going to close. Sometimes God is causing things to happen in your life that you don't understand why it happened to you. But God is bringing you to a place where he wants you to see him. He wants you to learn to trust in him. Because what he does is he takes the ability where we can't do for ourselves sometimes, and it's bigger than us. And so what we need to do is we need to have confidence and faith in the Word of God. When he speaks to our heart, as only God can do, and by the way, let me say this. Some people say, well, I asked for God to write it in the sky. God don't write it in the sky. Well, I asked God to write it in the dirt. He's not in the business of writing in the dirt anymore. He has sent his Holy Spirit through a small, still voice, he speaks to our heart. And you may be sitting there this morning and he may be speaking to your heart. No one else hears it. But you hear it. And you know that God is speaking to you. Maybe this morning he's wanting to see you get saved. And maybe he's allowed some things to come in your life just to humble you to the point where you'll call upon him and trust in him. Maybe you're here and you are saved. And you're going through some battles in life. You're going through some issues in life that's bigger than you. And it's time that you just need to put your faith in him. So many times, folks, we miss out on his miracles in our lives because we're afraid to trust his word. Afraid to step out. I'll use this one illustration. I'll close. I used to teach rappelling and mountain rescue and all that, and a little bitty old thin rope. And it was the hardest thing in the world sometimes to get people to back out over big old cliffs, hanging about 100 feet up and hanging down, looking down on the ground. I said, just back out and have confidence in the rope. Mark back there, me and him taught many classes together. And sometimes people would start out over there, they'd back out, wouldn't they, Mark, and they'd climb back up. Sometimes they'd get out there and they get froze. And I'd say, you got to trust the rope. It's 9,000-pound test. Trust it. And some say, well, I don't trust it. And I can understand that. But God asks you to do the same thing. He said, now back out over here and just trust me. Get where all your weight's on me, and you got to trust me. Can I take care of your life? Can I help you during your tough times? Yes, in this world you shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Don't look at the circumstances. Look at the God of the circumstances. And understand, he's working on both ends. He has a purpose. And maybe this morning you need to come and say, God, I need you in my life. Maybe you're experiencing things in your family, other issues that may be going on. You just need to come. Would you come as we stand, sing, Brother Porter? Thank you.